The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
As always, on a Tuesday morning, Neil Atkinson makes his weekly appearance from the Anfield Wrap into the studios high up the tower. Morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Great to see you.
Very good to see you too. Good that they've created some news for us.
Well, there is news in terms of Liverpool today.
Yeah, always the worry this time of year coming in, and that there's not going to be the things to talk about. But there is Liverpool's move for Virgil van Dijk looks like it's coming off, and I think it's come as a massive surprise.
Very, very expensive buy, would you say? If the figures are to be believed, we were talking up to 50 million before. Yesterday, it now looks as though it might be above that, 60.
Yeah, it'll be one of these deals where it's a high fee and then there's all sorts of add-ons. I think that there's a lot of talk that it's going to be the fee itself will be about 45 million, and then if Liverpool achieve everything they ever want to achieve, then it'll go up to 60.
Does it matter nowadays?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, we're flicking through. We've got all the sports papers in front of us, and we're flicking through the back of the Daily Mirror here. And there's a story from Darren Lewis saying that Jose Mourinho is poised to make 35 million Benfica defender Victor Lindhoff his first signing of a summer revamp.
35 million. For
35
Benfica
million for you know, he's a Swedish international. He's 22 years old, and he's playing for Benfica. And you know, if Liverpool end up paying the full 60 million for Van Dijk, it's because they'll have done very, very well. But this is the way in which this is now going to go. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a staggeringly expensive summer. Manchester City have already spent 60 million on Bernardo Silva. They spent a lot of money on a goalkeeper. Liverpool look as though they're about to spend 35 million on Mohamed Salah. And then there's talk that there's one more move for Naby Keita, which will be coming in at around the 45, 50 million mark as well. So I think we're going to spend
what the fans summer have been advocating, though, isn't it?
Very much so. And I think that, you know, you can't. Liverpool, it's quite clear that Liverpool wanted Van Dijk and that they've convinced him that this is the right club for him to move to. Also, Chelsea and Manchester City have both wanted Van Dijk. He appears to have been everyone's number one target. So firstly, for Liverpool to have secured him is a massive deal. And it shows that there's still a lot of heft to Liverpool. And it also shows the value of Liverpool being in the Champions League, Alan, that we've, you know, at times you've not been quite sort of sure of the links between this. You know, we can talk about, it's not like there's a trophy for finishing fourth, and there isn't. Yeah. But the reward is that you're able to sign someone like Virgil van Dijk, and I think that's what you can see here, that Liverpool have been able to convince this footballer that the right place to come is Liverpool. They've been interested in him for a long while, I think the conversations will have been ongoing with him, and they're able to say that you're at the centre of everything that we do, and we'll put you at the centre of everything that we do. And that's significant, and it means that Liverpool have got a very strong crop of players if they secure Van Dijk between the ages of if they secure Van Dijk, Salah and Keita between the ages of 22 and 26, 27. There's the profile of these lads who are young, hungry, still have a lot to prove, still need to go and win things. That's what Liverpool have got, and I think that's the collective sell is that's the project. The project is that they're all coming in to work together to hopefully secure some silverware for Liverpool next season, retain the place in the Champions League, look to go as deep into that competition as they can and challenge for the league title.
Is he the right man in terms of a centre-back that Liverpool should be after?
I don't think he's... I think it's important. I don't think he's going to come in and solve everything, because I don't think that any one player can. I think that there's lots of issues with the way Liverpool choose to set up under Jurgen Klopp at their best, which leaves your centre-halves pretty exposed. They have one holding midfielder in front of them, and that holding midfielder is Jordan Henderson, who gets selected as much for the way in which he starts attacks as for anything else. So I think both Van Dijk and either Matip or Lovren, whoever he plays next to, they have to do a lot of one-on-one defending. And I think Van Dijk can do a lot of one-on-one defending. He's 6'5", ton of pace, all the obvious ways to be able to handle and deal with a good centre-forward. But he's not going to come in and single-handedly turn Liverpool into a side that only concedes 18 league goals. That's not the case. It's not even what he's coming in to do. Part of what he comes in to do is allow Liverpool to attack even more, to play higher up the pitch, to leave the centre-halves one-on-one, and accept that sometimes you're going to come off wrong, that's going to go a bit the wrong way for you, but you've got your full-backs higher, your centre-backs higher, Jordan Henderson higher, and everyone in front of them higher up the pitch, and especially against the poorer sides who turn up at Anfield and look to just slam the door on you. A centre-back like Van Dijk can make a massive difference. So I think, I think obviously the hope will be that Liverpool defend better, but I don't think Liverpool are going to suddenly start setting up as though they're going to be an absolutely ridiculously tight defensive unit, because that's not the football that Jurgen Klopp's wanted to play. Although towards the back end of the season, you could see that he could do that and his team could do that.
He's capable of offering something in the opposition penalty area as well, as Liverpool know to their cost. He has scored against them before, hasn't he?
Yes, but Lovren had scored against us before we signed him, so you can't get carried away. And so with Nathaniel Clyne, you can't get carried away with these things.
But he does get in the box well, and he's a tall, imposing figure for opposition defenders.
And he's good with the ball at his feet.
Yeah, so, he can carries finish, the ball
carries
out,
the ball out well. And he can finish. So I think he's a bit of an all-round footballer who happens to be a centre-back, and you don't get many of them. And that, again, fits a lot of what Klopp's about. Klopp's about, the idea that there's constant movement as players can interchange. So I think that's another positive. So, yeah, I think, it's difficult. The question is, hopefully there's no long-term repercussion to this injury that he's coming back from, first and foremost. But secondly, I just think it's more about the whole boost. City and Chelsea were very, very much had this lad as their number one target. And for too long, and by too long, I mean, I'm going back to probably 2007 and the signing of Fernando Torres. For too long, it's felt as though Liverpool have got to allow other clubs to do their business before they can get their own completed. And this is the first time since the real toxic conduct of Hicks and Gillette has Liverpool have look as though they've gone and being able to say we're getting our player first and foremost.
It's a real statement, isn't it?
It's huge. It's huge, and it's huge across before the whole of the summer. It justifies the push for the top four. It justifies all of that work and worry that Liverpool were going through. So it's an exciting one.
I see Van Dijk's former club Celtic even are due 10% of the transfer fee, but that's not unusual following his £30 million move to the South Coast back in 2015. So not yet. They'll be profiting big time.
Yep, very much so. Let's let the money go round.
Yeah. What about Mo Salah, who we've touched on there? A player that Liverpool almost got back in 2014, was it?
Yeah, January 2014. I think he's... Since then, he didn't get many opportunities at Chelsea, but he went to Fiorentina.
Developed well.
And he's done really well. And then his last two seasons at Roma, he scored 1-2 in the league. So that's not playing centre forward. I think he's exactly what Liverpool needs. He's another pacey option when Mane is unavailable in the attack, but also he can start the other side from Mane as well, meaning Liverpool can start with a ton of pace.
Coutinho more through the middle, is it?
I think it will. I think you're going to see a lot of Coutinho back in midfield. I think Liverpool are. The way in which I think Liverpool should be looking to get two more forward options, keep Sturridge, and then going into next season with hopefully Salah, Mane, Firmino, Sturridge, Origi. And then you're looking at, as I say, one more on top of that, and then continue to flit between sort of centre midfield and back this left side of berth that he's made for himself. And I think that means that if Liverpool can be picking three forwards with pace and movement and guile and Coutinho behind them, and Lallana then, and maybe this Keita character if they get him, it means that there's just constant options. It's a strange sort of summer for Liverpool where the squad at times last season has looked very light on the one hand, but on the other hand, it actually doesn't take very much to create genuine squad depth. So Salah coming in offers the idea that Liverpool have got, move Coutinho back into midfield, at which point it's quite easy to say that Liverpool have got eight options in the centre of midfield, all of whom look pretty good, pretty solid, pretty exciting. So that helps massively, I think, for the club. And then I think adding one more forward on top of that, as I say, if they sign Keita as well, then it suddenly becomes a real... a squad which looks as though it can compete on the two fronts and not drop its level going from game to game. The same thing at centre-back. Third choice centre-half last season for Liverpool's Klavanor or Lucas. Well, this season it's Matip or Lovren. And that's, your next centre-back cab off the rank is that strong, I think, remarkably. Puts you in a really, really good position and means that Liverpool can look at the Champions League as a real opportunity, that it's not just something they've got to get through in order to get back in it again the following season. But they're able to say no. It wouldn't surprise you right now, let's say, that Liverpool's first sides for next season, hypothetically speaking, Liverpool have a centre midfield three if they manage to secure Keita of Chan, Coutinho and Keita. Now, the starting centre midfield three last season was Henderson, Lallana and Wijnaldum. They're all still there. And that shows the depth that Liverpool can have.
You need that quality, don't you?
Well, if you're going to be playing Wednesday, Saturday, and wanting to get results, you do need that quality. So I think, I think it is. It's a strange sort of situation where Liverpool have got to get the players, and they have got to get they've got to spend the money, and they've got to be ambitious. But it's not actually that difficult a window for Liverpool. Whereas for Manchester City, with the number of players they had leaving, with the nature of the sort of the lads who are leaving on the free, the strange holes there are in that squad, there's still a fair bit to do. Whereas it's quite straightforward for even a novice like me to sit down and go, be able to say, well, these are the holes. these are just the holes to fill, boys. If you just do this and get the best players that you possibly can in these positions, you'll be broadly all right, and you'll also have the core of the side that got 76 points last season.
Has Danny Ings got a part to play in this squad for next season?
I think first and foremost, he's got to prove his fitness. It wouldn't surprise me if he has a season out on loan, or at least half a season up until Christmas out on loan. It's harsh, but I think he's got a lot of fitness to prove now. It's 2 years. I think Liverpool missed him at times this season. I think there was a lot of being able to. He couldn't even get into the 18 at times before October. But if you actually imagine having Ings available for instance, January, when Liverpool were toiling in the two cup competitions and not being able to get a win on the board in the league, then I think, again, it's a reminder that you can always feel as though you're overstocked with a squad. But three injuries to anybody, and certainly if two of them come in the same position, and you suddenly look light. So I think Ings would have had a part to play last season. If Liverpool had two attacking options this season, then it's difficult to sort of see a clean path back for him. But first and foremost, he's just got to sort of find his way to a degree of fitness. The one who's most interesting isn't even Sturridge, but it's Origi, who I think the Liverpool manager would have liked to have seen more of last season. I think they would have liked to have seen him kick on. And he frankly just didn't. You know, his performance has never reached the level that they were at in the spring of 2015. Even when he was scoring goals, and he does end up getting double figures in all competitions, Origi. But even when he was scoring goals, he still wasn't playing at the level he'd been playing at, you know, sort of 9 months before. Now, young footballers' improvements, they're not linear. They don't just constantly sort of improve on this lovely graph-like diagonal that comes up. It's not the case. But I think there's a difference between failing to improve and genuinely dropping off. And I think last season, Origi genuinely dropped off. And that's now after 12 more months of working with Klopp and his team. And to have not been able to see another improvement, or what looks like the seeds of another improvement, I'd be intrigued to know what would happen if Liverpool got a decent offer for Origi. It wouldn't surprise me if the manager sees him as someone he could cash in on, but it wouldn't surprise me if Liverpool can't get a decent offer for him, and they think, you know what, we're better off giving him another 12 months, giving him the chance to improve, hopefully he comes along, and then go from there.
I had the pleasure of catching up with former Liverpool great Jan Molby over the course of the weekend, and he was advocating the services of Ryan Bertrand at left back. He said he wouldn't be averse to taking another from Southampton and bringing him in, a player who he says always seems to be in the right position defensively and offensively.
Can't be bothered with fullbacks broadly, Al. I think Jan might have a point.
You're happy with James Milner doing the job?
I'm very happy with James Milner. I actually think that Milner, whilst he struggles towards the end of the season, there's a couple of reasons for that. Partially at his legs, the idea of bringing a fullback in, the sort of money that Bertrand had cost for what would be a marginal improvement, if any improvement on Milner. But Liverpool do need to get a second one. But I think one of the issues that Milner and Klein both had towards the end of the season was they weren't getting the ball quickly enough. Liverpool's lack of Henderson in midfield and the late decision to pull Coutinho back meant Liverpool were more ponderous in midfield, whether it was Chan playing there, whether it was Lucas playing there. They weren't getting the ball out quickly enough. So suddenly these fullbacks, by the time they get the ball, they're looking up and they've got a set defence in front of them.
You're not bothered about a specialised fullback?
We've got one, he's called James Milner. And that's, I would rather have James Milner than Marcus Alonso. I'd rather have James Milner than Ben Davis. I'd rather have Danny Rose than James Milner, but he's been injured now for 6 months. I'd rather have James Milner than Monreal. I'd rather have James Milner than whatever clown United are playing at left back, because I don't even know who it is. They change from week to week. And they're not convinced by any of their left full backs. And Manchester City ended the season with Gael Clichy at left back, who they've now let go on a free transfer. So it isn't as that we all think that there's this raft of fantastic full backs that will just sort a position out, and the reality is on either side there just isn't. Full backs, there's this idea that there's this mad panacea that will just sort everything, whereas I don't think Liverpool have signed a full back in the last 15-20 years about whom there hasn't been debate and discussion about whether or not he's good enough.
It's been going on for years, this left back debate, hasn't it?
But it's at almost every club. There's barely a club that isn't knocking around going, I think we can improve on our fullbacks, and then you spend £20 million to get
back as far as Joey Jones. It was going on then.
Yeah, Liverpool. Yeah, Steve Nicol was the last one that Liverpool could genuinely get behind.
Jamie Carragher played at left back for years under Hulley, didn't he?
And people didn't like it. And people said, well, we should get a left-footed left back in. He's too defensive. He's too this. Meanwhile,
he's doing
a perfectly good job. Yeah, John Arisa comes in and is rubbish a lot of the time. Started well but fell off a cliff. Fabio Aurelio had massive injury issues.
Jose Enrique,
constant conversation. Ali Sissoko, John Flanagan went out there.
It's true, isn't it? When you look back,
so you don't solve this in that you spend your life going, we need to sort out fullback, whether left or right. And even now, there's people who don't like Nathaniel Clyne.
Bring in Ashley Cole.
Well, that was mooted when he was going on a free, get Ashley Cole in, and when he was 35, because it's so, if I say it's so hard, what I mean, as I say, every single club around Liverpool can argue we can improve in the fullback position. Mm. We can improve in the fullback or wing back position. We can do better there, and they probably can. But you could spend your life trying to fix fullback and not box it off. Glenn Johnson, Liverpool spent $18 million on Glenn Johnson in 2009. He was meant to sort it all out at right back, and for the five years he was at the club, I think he did well on the whole. But people spent their life saying you've got to do better than Glenn Johnson. He's not good enough defensively. And then he stopped adding more and more going forward. Is he offering us enough going forward? It's just a thankless position. Everyone who's ever played fullback, which I have, knows it's absolutely no barrel of laughs. You get the ball on your right foot. You've got two options, which is basically up the line or back inside. That's it. Yeah. And it's easy for a player to not look like he's quite good enough. So I think Liverpool will sign another fullback, but I don't. You know, Bertrand would be another 20, 25, 30 million pounds. But we're about to spend that on Salah. Mm. I'd have another one of him where you can say, well, there's a material difference at the top end of the pitch as to what they do. He can sort that out for us. And, you know, having another attacking option, I'd get a fullback, but I wouldn't be spending a lot of money on it, and I wouldn't be spending much time on it.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.